finishing up there, chapter 15. Let's just do a quick review. We'll just look at verse 14 and 15. Philistines talking big smack. And as soon as they started shouting at him, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Amazing church folk setting him up. Just. check your arms and wrists and see if they'll lead you to the slaughter. They won't take you all the way out, but they'll set you up. So as we go through the lesson again, just a little exercise. I'll challenge you on some of this. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not sharing my screen. I am not sharing my screen. Let me.
I see your screen. We see some.
You see the screen?
Yeah.
I'm sharing the screen.
Yeah, it's small though.
Guys on the Zoom, you guys see the notes?
It's only about this big, is what he's saying.
Oh, it's the same size that it always is.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Okay. Man, true.
I can read it. Yeah,
you don't see it?
Yes, we can read it. Yeah.
No. I don't think the Zoom folk can see it. No.
We see Zoom.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, there we go. I'm up there listening to Al thinking, okay, I didn't think, I thought of losing my mind. I didn't think I remembered showing it. Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. We're back on track. Let's go. All right. So they're coming, and I love this. And here's your application. So as we go through this, just kind of look for the application for today. I know the story doesn't apply to us, but it does. And so... the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. I know we talked about this last week, but I tell you, I've had to go back through those steps several times this week so that I could get through what was trying to hold me down. And in the car example, you know, my blue Civic named Stitch, that's just a prime example. The day that the accident happened, I was just so nice to this kid. I'm like, hey, stuff happens, you know, don't worry about it. God loves you. I love you too. You know, just a witness and just comforting him. First accident, I'm okay. My car's all messed up. He drives away, but it's all good. You know, it's just wonderful. I even offered him my little, I had a couple of little Debbies that I took from the office. I think I paid for them. I don't know. But normally, I don't know. Anyway, but I offered him one of my, you know, little Debbie cakes or whatever, you know. And just, I was in a good place. That's victory. Sometimes we look for the Spirit of the Lord if you want to know whether you got the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you look to see the big things. You know, can I walk on water and things like that? You can't do and forgive people for things unless you really have the Holy Spirit moving. And so sometimes don't miss the greatness of the Spirit in your life because you might not be walking on water. For me, hit me in my driveway and I'm rejoicing and shaking your hand and telling you, you know, go forth and conquer. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You hit the right guy. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the power of Chuck ain't going to come out like that. Not in my driveway. We're going to, and so the next day, when the insurance company emails me back, and I'm waiting for the estimate from Joe Hudson, and, you know, thinking, hey, you know, just take about a week or so, I'll get my car back, and Stitch will be back home, and, you know, and they say, hey, we're going to toll you out, and we're going to give you this amount of money. And I'm like, okay, one, that ain't enough money, and two, my car got totaled. And the first thing that came to my mind was, this ain't fair. This is not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. This ain't fair. This is not fair. And he keeps driving. He drove himself to school, I bet you. And here I am, stitchless. So, pardon?
Not carless.
Well, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about my loss.
But you had the victory one time, then you go back and start all over again.
And that's the key.
Right.
And I put it on my Facebook post. You know, why is it, and it just hit me. And the only thing that really got me back on track was the Spirit. But I was saying the same thing that my grandkids say, because I hear them saying that all the time.
This ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair, this ain't fair.
And I'm like, and I get on about it.
Life ain't fair.
And here I am saying the same things, and it hit me. I'm in the same place as they are if I'm saying the same things that they are, but I understand why they say it. I understand why I'm saying it. But now I'm bound. So when you look at this story and you see that Samson says, you know, hey, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and what was holding him down fell off easily.
Right.
And so now I'm asking myself, why is it, and sometimes God will ask questions, why is it that you had victory on Thursday, but now you're struggling with something on Friday? And it's the same place, the driveway, where you had the victory. Shouldn't you be able to even more easily get through this? And when I got ready to answer the question, I'm like, why am I having a hard time with this? What was I doing on Thursday that's different from what I'm doing on Friday? And I figured it out.
You had the Holy Spirit.
The pride, well, I had the Spirit and I was looking at the blessings.
Right.
I was kind of like what Sun said last week. I knew where those blessings flew from. And even though I suffered loss, I was still celebrating what I still had. And I saw God all over that. Saw God all over that, you know. And sometimes you ask yourself, well, why does bad stuff happen? And, you know, I've gotten to that place where, well, either God's trying to get my attention because he wants me to get in alignment, or it's for a testimony. I've asked that question about Mandy. I'm like, hey, you know, why is a young girl going through this or whatever? You know, and I'm like, you know what? Either it's to get her lined up, or it's for a testimony. Or maybe it's a hybrid, a little bit of both.
Maybe the boy needed to hear something and God knew that. And maybe he was, you know, thinking suicide or something. We never know with these teenagers. So maybe that's why the power came over you.
Have no idea, but he got a godly response on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, I'm thinking about, well, I got the address. I might want to ride by the house and just look at it kind of evil. The thought passed my mind. You know, you're driving and I'm not. You know, I've got a problem with this. It's not fair. As soon as I shifted and went through the steps, Lord, I need you. I need you because this is, you know, this is bothering me now. Drop this off at the tomb. Bury this. Change my attitude about this. My hope is now back in you. Step three. And I'm starting to remember the blessings and the benefits that I had on Thursday are still with me on Friday. He's still letting me. I might lose something, but he's still letting me hold on to something that I praised him for the day before. All of a sudden, things are shifting and I easily let those feelings go.
You didn't lose everything.
I still got something. You know, and as I look at Sun, I just remember what she went through and, like, you know, the joy that she had. She was going through the loss of her husband, but she still got them grandkids. She still has something. And it goes back to looking at the source in the spiritual realm of what God blesses you with. Mm-hmm. And even though you can lose some stuff, he still allows you to have something that you can praise him for. And it could always have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, when you look at these lessons with in these Old Testament lessons, you look at Samson, how Samson's able to do this. We should be able, as the people of God, to be able to do the same things. I know sometimes it is just difficult because life is not fair. But the power of the Spirit allows you to not be bound. I've had to go back to this verse and this example three or four times this morning, all throughout the weekend, where I'm steadily going back to the tomb. Let me drop this off. Let me drop this off. This person didn't say something to me the right way. This person's got an attitude. You know, now let me drop this off, because this stuff, you know, people can impact your relationship with God when they don't do right, when they don't act right, when you get offended or whatever. And when they do, I don't want somebody else to impact my blessing and my anointing and my peace. And sometimes it's hard to get past hurtful comments, things that happen or whatever. But when you've got the power of the Holy Spirit and you go through those steps, we should be able to get through this a little bit easier than what we had before. We certainly ought to be able to get through it easier if we were just relying on ourselves. And sometimes you got to kind of keep going back. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well. Because you can have that victory, then it comes back on you. So when I'm looking at things like that, when I look at these scriptures or whatever, and it helps me because I want to get what Samson had. Power of the Holy Ghost. All right. Verse 15. Yes.
The power of the Holy Ghost helped us when Juanita and I, it was Friday, we were traveling on Interstate 65 in the cost. Pull over in us, it was just like that. We could have a terrible accident.
Right.
You know, it was that close. I mean, it was close.
Yeah. People can't drive here, I'm going to tell you that right
now. And I didn't lose it. I just said, okay.
Yeah. I know, yeah, yeah. It's just when you recognize the blessing. And so I'm over in East Chase, and I'm with my wife, and I'm in the Benz, you know. And, you know, the traffic's just crazy, and I got ready to move out into another lane, and I'm looking around. I don't see anything, and then I got the little sensors on the Benz, you know, just to know when somebody's there. And I get ready to move out, and the sensor don't go off, and I see this car kind of go by, and I slip back over, and I'm like, man.
It's been really crazy out there.
I'm like, I didn't want to be two for two, and I'm like, all I can do is just praise God. And see, that's the thing. We make mistakes, too, and we want grace and mercy.
Right.
But then we don't want to extend it when we're the ones that are offended. So just, you know, you just need the Holy Ghost. And we know how to get it through those steps. All right. Verse 15. He found a new jawbone of a donkey. Yeah, I remember we went over this last week or whatever. And I like verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, the jaw of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Is he accurate in that? Yes, he is. He did slay 1,000 men, but he left out. But he did not do it in his own strength. And here is where we move on to the next section. I've got a Joshua 23:10 reference here, but you don't have to go to that. I don't know why I put it there. Let's move on to new stuff. We're a half hour into this, and David's like, hey, what's going on here? You know. All right. Verse 17, new stuff. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone. Okay, so he made an end of speaking, and we don't hear him saying anything about the Lord after he gets through speaking.
Boasting.
There's a little pride in there, I think.
They say that means jawbone heal, too.
Yeah, it's Jawbone Hill. Right, exactly, right. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place, I know I should have had Al read this, Ramoth Lehi. All right, we'll go with that. All right. Now, what does that mean? And as Earl said, it means, translated, the height of a jawbone, or the place of the jawbone. So he names it after the tool that he used for his great victory. Almost like a boast. I did all this with just a jawbone, baby. There you go. All right. He's a bad man. All right. Verse 18. And he was sore athirst. He's thirsty. And he called on the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. At the end of the victory, he didn't call on the Lord, but now he's thirsty, and he calls on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Oh, now! he acknowledges God gave him the victory. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Wait a minute. You brought me this far, and now you're going to let me fail after this? Verse 19, but God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. Now, I used to always think, when I first read this, that this was in the jawbone, you know, the skeleton or whatever. And I'm like, well, it's already a skeleton. I never could understand it. It's already a skeleton. It's already got some holes in it. You know, did he put another hole in the water come out of the jaw? No, the place is called place of the jawbone. And so there's a place in this place, Yeah, I guess that's good English. All right. Where God causes the water to come out of that place.
Out of the ground.
Or out of a rock or whatever. So it's that location that God allows him, all right, to be refreshed. And there came water there out. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again. All right. This is almost like Christ back saying, you know, rivers of living water. Representative of the Holy Spirit. And his spirit came again, and he revived, which is always the plan of God, to revive us and to restore us. So stitch two is coming. Yeah, you know, revive us again. Wherefore he called, you're going to change the name of the place now. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. It's still available. All right? So, before I get into my notes, let me tell you what that means. Yeah.
The spring of the one who cries out.
Yeah, the spring of the one who cries out.
That version says callers spring.
Callers spring. And I've got spring of the one calling, or the caller's fountain. The caller's fountain. All right. There's a significant difference between the place where I use the jawbone to wax some hineys, as opposed to the place where I had to call on you to get some relief. What caused, in your mind, as you look at these scriptures, what caused him to be prideful and forget about God in the first naming of the place, and what has caused him to give it a new name?
In the first, he thought he got the victory, he himself.
How could he ever think that?
But he was boasting about it.
Because he was prideful.
Because we're all got that ego.
We got that ego thing.
Yeah. And he was nothing but pride.
And then God built
him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thirsty.
But you know, I see that it's something here where, you know, even after all, you know, that big Samson boasting about him, you know, winning the battle and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then here he is, he's thirsty now. And then the way he talks to God, must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the unseen? The way he talked to God, I mean.
Yeah. But God is okay in this. I don't think it's necessarily talking back. But let's go through the steps and see. So this is a good conversation.
But he did say you gave this great deliverance.
So let's go back. When he finds out he's thirsty and all of a sudden calls on him for the first time. What step is he at?
He's humble himself.
So he's humble. And he's in need. So because he's humble and in need, because he calls on the Lord.
Yes, he does.
When he calls on the Lord, all right, let's see if we can find some step two here. Is he relying on himself?
No.
No. So we got step two. He's putting down the pride now. He finds out he's in need. He calls on him. He gives him credit or whatever. Is he at step three? Is his hope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So now his hope is in
God.
Hey, step one, I'm humbling myself. I need you. Two, I've been trying to do this on my own and it ain't working for me. All right. Three, I'm coming to you because you're my only hope, my last hope. Four, now, he may not be... okay, so... Now, you know, I don't know about you, but you may have some kids. I don't know. Hey, your kids ain't like mine or whatever. I'm sure they don't do this, but you may have...
Mom just got allergies.
You may have some... Well, okay, but just Deb and I are going to be talking to you about it.
Hey,
no, I can't. No.
Come on.
So, you may have some kids that recognize, hey... I need mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Two, so they humble themselves. So they've been trying to do it on. Two, they're at step two because, like, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I need you.
Right, right.
And their hope is that you will help them out.
Right. Bail
them out. Bail them out. Yeah.
Good work.
They may not always ask you in the manner that you would like them to ask you.
Right, right.
Right. You know why? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because they ain't got the step four.
Yeah.
Where their language is being tailored by the Holy Spirit so that when they're talking to you, they're talking to you to give God glory.
Okay.
So, that's not in my notes. I just kind of saw that. Thank you, Lord. So I'm okay with where, because you know what? If he keeps going down this path, he'll eventually start talking right. That's a preach. I'm writing that down.
He's trying to talk right when he gets thirsty.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna have to change my notes here or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was revived?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that, the revival, that's step three. Because he's able to be revived and restored. All right, observation. Let me get my other observation here.
Well, if you're not ever in need of the living water, you're not going to, you know.
See your need. You're always in need, but you don't see.
You talked about how he moved on. Well, yeah, you saw the need for the living water of Jesus Christ in you.
Mm-hmm. But you got to see your need first.
Right.
See your need to move on.
So I'll work this out later today because there's definitely application. So I'm not going to worry too much about how I'll get caught up with how people respond to me, but if they're going along that path, then I can facilitate them getting to the next. Because is he talking good now? Is he? Yes. Because he just said, man, this is no longer the place where I got a victory. This is the place where I had to call on the Lord. Woo!
And you give credit to God by changing the name.
Yep. Think about the implication of that. Because before, when he named it, every time he goes back to that place, what do you think he's going to think if it was used the first name?
He's going to think about himself.
Yep. No longer the place where I got a great victory. The place instead where I called on him again and he met my need.
Well, neither has a need.
Well, she better get to that place.
Hungry.
She's hungry. All right. Any other thoughts on that? I mean, that's just power. And so here's the thing. And when I think back at Stitch, you know, I'm thinking about this passage of scripture. I'm like, you know, I was patting myself on the back a little bit about Thursday when I was able to respond to this kid. Praise God. And I started to go on Facebook and say, oh, you know, hey, you know, I had this Christian response. My car got towed in the driveway. But God is great or whatever. You know, give me an eye. And all of a sudden, comes in. And all of a sudden, hey, ain't no praise. You know, and it's like all of a sudden, the same place where I was getting blessed is the same place where now I got to call on him again because I'm not in my right mind. Last lesson, go ahead. It happens quick.
It made me think about Peter. You know, just right there, he was saying, told Jesus.
I never deny you.
And then just that quick.
Yep. Yes. I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And start cussing like a sailor.
That quick.
And it can happen that quick. And the reason why it can happen that quick, and it happens so quick, and you think that you're still where you were in victory, and you're not. So we got to be very careful that in our victories, we understand we find God easily in our needs. But it's when we have the victory and the breakthroughs.
You got to be careful.
You got to remember
because
where you came from and who gave it.
Yeah.
How we come off of those things. That's very important. You know, look what he does next.
Right.
Life is just full of that.
Same. Yeah. Yeah.
Samson again. Go after that woman there.
Delilah.
There was one before Delilah.
Yeah.
A prostitute before her.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. And that gets us in trouble because then we start thinking that we achieve these things. I mean, I've got to do this all the time. All the time I have to constantly remind myself whether because he's God of my hills and valleys. And when I'm on the hill, I thank him for putting me on the hill. And when I'm in the valley, I thank him that he's still with me in the valley. And I want to be as easily talking to God when I'm on top of the mountain as when I'm in the valley. And sometimes we forget. And Earl, I added, I'm going to try to fix my notes up, is how you come after that victory that's important. And I see churches that struggle through the same thing. You had great victory, good attendance, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the pride comes in. And then what you relied on before. And here's the thing. When do you ever come to your senses to go back to step one? And if the Holy Spirit's not pricking you to go back to step one, then God allows what he allowed to happen for Samson. A need comes up. A circumstance or situation comes up. And that's the thing that gets him back in right standing. I wish there was another way, and there probably is, where we would not have to go through that kind of a trial to get to where he wants us to be. Which is why you want to always hold on to the Holy Spirit. Because you can avoid, I mean, we're parents. We don't want our kids to go through some of the things that we went through. Or to deal with the things that we've had to deal with. And yet, some of them will still go through that. Yeah. But we don't want them to go through that. And we know if you just listen to what mom and dad are saying, you're going to be able to avoid some things and not have to go through the pain. And yet, when they ignore that good counsel and that good word, they go through it. But, you know, praise God, they've been trained up enough to figure out, you know, well, you're going through some unnecessary stuff. But, you know, praise God, my prayer now is that he'll carry you through and that your eyes will be open and you'll realize that this had to happen in order for you to get back in right side, or to see.
But Chuck, with our son, he's 41. It's like he's just as lost can be. And his mistakes, or his sins, not his mistakes, his sins, keep finding him out. But he always continually wants to justify them.
Yeah, until we get so the humility is
exactly.
Always missing. Yeah, and that's the one thing that I liked about the kid in the accident that allowed me it helped me to get back in a good place. The kid on Thursday took responsibility. He didn't come up with excuses. His mom came up and he said, "I just wasn't paying attention. It's my fault. I wasn't paying attention." How can you not? And that made it very easy for me to have a Christian response, because now you're taking responsibility. So now I know that you are in the right place. And so, praise God, thank you. So when I see that he takes responsibility, then I see that you're humble. And so now as a minister and as a parent, it's my role to not beat you up and keep you in that humble state. It is my job to get you to the next level by saying, I'm going to give you grace and mercy because that's step three. So I'm going to restore your joy or whatever, because I see you're at level one and two. So now as a minister, I want to help you get closer to God. Oh, this is going to help somebody. All right. So I don't want to keep you where you are, because God might be using me and this situation to take you into another level, so that every time, oh, thank you, Jesus, so that every time you drive by this driveway on your way home, you'll remember that place, not the place where the brother took a jawbone and beat me up and cussed me out. Not the place of my mistake. Not the place where I wasn't paying attention. Not the place of my first accident. It's the place where I received mercy and grace and peace and forgiveness and even the offer of a little Debbie cookie. And so the name of that place is changed because of the ministry of Christ and bringing him and seeing, ooh, you just responded right. You're at the right place or whatever. I'm going to not keep you beat down. It is my job now when I see you spiritually where you are to bring and lift you up so that you have restoration.
Well, I did something similar happen to me in front of Buffalo University when a young man hit me from the behind.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
And we just had bought our brand new altar there.
You know, before you go any further, the scripture that God knows how much you can bear, that hits me. Because if he had hit my bends, that might have been, I don't know if I could bear that. But anyway, go ahead.
My mind was rolling like, I just bought this car. You know, it's like rolling like, I just bought this car. But he come over and checked on me before he even blamed me.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. I said he could have. You know how people do.
Right. Because people are crazy. Like, some people are crazy. Yeah.
He was wet.
Yeah.
But it all worked out because he come up there and said, "You all right?" Said, "Blah blah." But that truly calmed me down.
And let's go here. So in that instance, I'm giving him what he needs to get through the next step because I saw where he was.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if he is not repentant and taking responsibility, but I still bless him with the recovery? It's out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't appreciate it. So then he'll drive by that driveway and go, "That's not the place where I made a mistake. That's not the place where I received mercy. That's the place where I tricked this guy and got over."
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to bless anybody out of order.
Exactly.
And I don't want to not bless anybody to help them get to the next level.
Exactly.
So, okay, well, this is a whole lot deeper than what I thought we were going to go. And when I prayed to the Lord about this lesson, I'm like, "Lord, I don't want to just teach. Let's just open this up so that people can kind of share and kind of understand what's, you know, how we can really apply these scriptures." And this is really helping me through some tough times. Because I want the victory, and I want to stay aligned, and praise God for the Holy Spirit, because now all of a sudden, that driveway is just going to be something. I think that kid might drive past my house and say, "Christian guy lives there." I think he's going to go by that house now. I receive mercy and grace in this place. And I think it's good, because if Samson named the place, if the name stays the original name, then he'll always go back to that place and pat himself on the back, and his pride will always rise up. When he goes back to that place again, he will always come back to that place and says, "This is the place that after the victory, I still needed God." And that's a powerful, powerful testimony. All right. Okay, so now we go to chapter 16 so that I can put chapter 15 on the website. And then David can say they never get through anything, and we can tell him that we did get to chapter 16. So we'll do the first couple of verses of chapter 16, and then we'll call it a day. Praise God. Judges chapter 16. Let's just do like maybe the first two or three verses or whatever. Okay. Verse 1. Did I even do verse 1? Did I do the scripture? I didn't do the scripture for this? Oh, my goodness. Man, I don't have it. Well, that gives me some more work to do this afternoon. So not only do I need to set up chapter 15, I need to put the scripture in for chapter 6. So somebody with their Bible just go down and read.
One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night. The people of Gaza were told Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." That's the end of verse 2. Should I go on?
Go to verse 3.
Okay. Verse 3. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night.
Okay.
Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill, their faces Hebron.
All right, so let's talk about this real quick, and we'll do a review, a deeper review next week, as Jesus tarries. And just some quick notes. I got my notes on the screen. So Gaza, and we've heard of Gaza before. I mean, that's where Goliath is from. No, Gath is where Goliath is from. But Gaza is a Philistine. It's like the capital. It's a stronghold. It's one of the, largest cities in enemy territory. The Gaza Strip, whatever. Yeah. So that's just Gaza, yeah. Which is still a source of conflict and controversy, strife, you know, today. Some things don't change. Ain't nothing new under the sun. All right, you know. So he goes into an enemy stronghold, is what I know. And he goes there, I don't mean to say that, but he goes there looking for a hooker. He did not go there. Pardon me. Oh, you'll find. He found one. Seeking, you shall find. I guess. All right. You know. So this is not an occasion of the Lord against the enemy. No. Before, when he's hanging out with the enemy, it's with, oh, God's looking for an occasion. You know. But now he's out there, you know, for pleasure.
Fooling around.
All right. And I know. Samson's just, you know. And when he gets there, all right, the enemy finds out that he's there. So now, what does the enemy do while he's there? So the enemy sees this as an opportunity to get him. How did he put himself in this position? Sin. Application for today.
When we sin, we spiritually die.
We go into the wrong place that we have no business.
That's right.
When you go places where you ain't got no business going, all right, and the Lord didn't lead you there, is your temptation or whatever that leads you to go to that place, all right, that physical place, who's waiting for you?
The
enemy. To do what? To kill you, to take you out. Mm-hmm. All right? So now, us old folk, we ain't got too much of a problem going to these places. Because I can tell you, it's been a long time since I've gone to the club or the alley bar. Amen. So we don't have that issue. This is for like Jalen and all these other young folk that hang around. It's for them. Deb looking at me kind of like I'm getting ready. No.
We can go to those places through our TV and stuff.
Okay, so we don't want to. Okay, so yeah, so that's.
It's just as bad.
Yeah, and if we go there, then the enemy is waiting for us.
Yeah.
So there are certain places that we don't need to go, and we know that because we're old and we're seasoned and we know better. Absolutely, we know better. Absolutely. We don't go to those places because we know better. You know I'm going somewhere with this. Deb's nodding her head. Norm's over here going, okay, where's he going with this? All right.
You can't fix stupid.
You can. You know, you just get it. You know, because my dad used to say a hard head makes a soft butt. And when that butt gets soft, then, you know, that'll loosen you up a little bit. All right, so let me make sure I understand what takes the one idiot. You're right on. There are some places that you don't need to go because the enemy is waiting for you when you get there. But now, let's not take it from a physical perspective. I got to write this down. So, Earl got it. Not just is it the physical place you don't want to go, but it's the place in your mind. It's the place in your spirit.
Yeah.
That's the battle. It's the place. It's the place. It's the place in your spirit and in your mind that if you go to that place, the enemy waits for you there too. Wait a minute now. Didn't the New Testament? Amen. Oh, yeah. Me too, brother.
Yeah. Line,
yeah.
Line
and they think they're okay because physically they're not. But mentally, they're all up in there. So let me ask you, do you have a spiritual Gaza in your life where it's that place where if you go there, all right, the enemy waits for you as a trap? That's the deep application of this. It's not about Gaza. It's not about Palestine. It's not about Israel. Those are just places in the natural. It's not about Samson and what happened thousands of years ago. That it is application for today. Physically, true. There's some places I don't need to go. But it's not just, some said this last week, it's not just about the physical. It's about the spirit that puts you or leads you, or the temptations that leads you to go to that place where the enemy waits. If somebody says something to me the wrong way, that's my gossip. The enemy waits to see how I'm going to respond. Somebody hits me in my driveway. I'm okay. But then all of a sudden, the enemy is waiting to say, let's see how he's going to respond. Did Samson have a woman problem?
Yes.
Does the enemy know he got a woman problem?
Yes.
Does the enemy wait? You know, Samson's just doing too much against my kingdom or whatever. How can we mess him up? Well, go to the area where he's weak, and the enemy stays there and waits for him. Where's that place where we're doing good with the Lord? The enemy knows. Well, yeah, but you know what? That person right there, that'll set him off real good. That job over there, that'll set him off real good. Let's try to get him in those places where she's weak. And here's the last thing as we get ready to go. And we'll do this as a review. I used to look at Samson and go, you dummy. You just playing around. But just stupid.
But we're looking at, we can't go into it because we still have a job.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't do that no more.
You don't do that no more. Okay, there you go. Okay. All right.
I've been saved all my life.
This is just great. Anyway.
Where's that marriage counseling?
But here's the... Yeah, I know. Where's the marriage counseling? But here, as we get ready to wrap up, here's the part that I missed, and we'll review this next week. Here's the part that I missed. He doesn't stay there all night. And I used to just think, you know, Samson, you're just playing around. And I never gave him credit for not staying there all night. Because he shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
But does the Lord move?
Yes.
Is the Spirit of God still on him?
Yes.
Application for today. When you find yourself there, just don't stay there all night.
He gives you a way of
escape. So you're saying the supernatural strength came on to rip up the bars and the gates was because he left and he decided not to stay all night and leave?
Yeah, I think so.
Zigzag there,
Mom. I mean, let's look at it from the natural perspective. What was it that allowed him to pick up this heavy gate and tote it about several miles? Because the strength came from, and so the Spirit was still on him, even though he was in a bad place.
Right.
Even though you didn't see him.
Yeah. But when he left early, what was he leaving? The harlot's house.
Yes.
The place where he was sinning. But he's leaving that behind so the Spirit can jump on him. You can go and you can twist this a couple different ways or whatever, but here's the thing. All right? Application for me. When I find myself in that place, Can I tap back into the spirit?
Yes.
I can't tap back into the spirit, though, until I leave. What are you going to say, son? Renew the mind. Ah! So when he leaves, he just said, wait a minute. Now, I don't want to say anything. We got to go. And David and Katie on the line, you know, they're young. And so this is like, we got to keep this PG.
Come on, John.
All right.
They just spend that lesson. We got all day.
No, we got and here's my point. If you're having a good time in the wrong place, mm-hmm. you don't normally leave the party early. No. You usually stay there and just kind of enjoy it till the daylight.
That's what happens when you stay too long.
Until it catches up.
Until, if you leave, it won't catch up to you.
Right, right.
Are we going to go some places and the enemy going to tempt us to go some places?
Yes.
But you don't want it, you want to know where you are. You don't want to stay in that situation too long, because the longer you stay in that situation, the longer you stay in that state of mind, the longer you stay mad and angry and upset, the longer you stay hurt and disappointed or whatever, thank you, Lord, the longer you stay in that, the enemy is waiting to see what your response is so he can get you. All right. So now I know that this is the Lord, because none of this is in my notes. You just gave me about a couple hours worth of work now this afternoon. I got to go and fix this up or whatever before I can put it on the website. God bless you.